What's up, everybody? Good to be back. We're talking a little bit about Kirk Cousins, a little bit about hindsight, and a little bit about the upcoming Bears game here on the Locked On Vikings podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome in, everybody. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It is not what we usually would have on a Thursday, which is Crossover Thursday, but it's brought to you by Prize Picks nonetheless. It is a fun, easy to play sort of twist on daily fantasy. Instead of having to build like an entire roster, you pick like 2 to 5 players, and whether they'll get more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. Takes less than 60 seconds to enter, and it is all that easy. You can even receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On for a 100% deposit match. So obviously, you probably noticed today's a little different on the show. No, like, intro, none of the graphics, mostly because of travel limitations. I still look a little different, sound a little different because I am abroad. We'll be back to normal next week, so bear with me. Thank you for that. Today, I want to talk about a little bit of Saints stuff, a little bit of Bears stuff. There's no show yesterday. Apologize for that. I just was out in the boonies, couldn't get something online. So today, we'll kind of do a hybrid of the Wednesday show and the Thursday show, which is usually where we start previewing the Bears. And then the Wednesday show is usually the sort of like in-depth, really, let's get to the bottom of what happened in that game. So we'll start with wrapping things up with the Saints game. And the way I want to do that is actually by talking about some of the comments that Kirk Cousins had after his what I assume was his Monday film session. I'm a little fuzzy on when quotes were said, but he said this after watching some of the tape on the Saints game. And one of the things that I really noticed, and I was flipping out about it in the stands, everybody was like, we all saw how open guys were not getting targeted. Like, what's the deal with that? And every play has its own answer for that. And there are a couple of interesting ones that I wanted to go over. And they're the ones that Cousins himself called out and said, yeah, you know, we had Justin Jefferson open for a touchdown twice in a row, couldn't connect with him. There was one to KJ that could have been, one to Thielen that could have been. And there's a different, slightly different reason, but I do think that there's like a through line there that Cousins was like kind of hinting at. And I think it's really interesting, especially because, you know, I mean, people were posting these clips. We can all see these now, too, if you have a Twitter account. And kind of saying, look how open this guy was, look at that guy. And there's a lot of really like militant defense about like, no, that wasn't wrong. You just don't know what you're talking about, right? Or some version of that, right? And then to have Kirk Cousins come out and say, yeah, no, this was wrong, or this was like, you could argue, is like, well, yeah, it's not that hard to see. But there's a couple that I remember seeing live that I was really curious to see kind of in a context where I could slow down and look at it a lot, which is what I'm going to talk about next, is sort of the process of doing that. I made a Patreon post that I kind of just want to like talk through. But the plays themselves first, I guess. There was one that could have been a touchdown to KJ Osborne. It was, I believe, the Johnny Munt drop. It was 3rd and 1. Johnny Munt had a lot of space. It's a low to high read, and you're reading the cornerback mostly. It's a smash concept. I believe all of these happened on some version of a smash concept, some sail or something like that. And what you need to understand about that for this is that there's one low guy, one high guy. And usually that they put those guys on the sideline and you watch the cornerback. If the cornerback gets a bunch of depth, it's probably a quarters look on that side, right? If he's going to start playing deep or a cover three look, either way. And that means you're more than likely going to have a linebacker who's responsible for the flat. And if you have a tight end run a flat route, the linebacker's never going to get out there, should have some space to turn upfield. And then if the cornerback gets a bunch of, or comes upfield a whole bunch, then it's probably a cover two look or a half look with the safety playing a deep half, and a corner is going to be really good against that. Just the way that leverage usually works out. That is the point of smash or sail. And smash can be a flat route or a little hitch or something like that. Sail, as I know it, and sail means different things in different playbooks, so it might mean something different to you, and that's okay, is when you have the same thing. You have like a deep corner and a flat usually, or some kind of something short to hold the corner back. And then you have a clear out route that's supposed to hold the safety as well. And so it's more of a flood concept where you have like a three level read. And then you either read it low to high or high to low, depending on what that play call is and how it's supposed to work. The one to Johnny Munt was a low to high call because it's a third and one call, right? You're just trying to convert. And KJ Osborne was wide open for a free touchdown on it. Would have honestly been an easier pitch and catch than the flat, if you ask me, just because of the angles. And just because of how open it was, obviously Munt's got to catch that. And we're not talking, well, I'd probably still be talking about it if, you know, it's first down's great, touchdown's better, right? That's why the fight song is ordered the way it is. But take your first down, and it's a low to high read. So if it's there for a first down, you take it. You never even look at the high. And then Cousins basically said, but, you know, I you would love it if I could have, like, pump faked that to get the corner to come up on Johnny Munt and then, you know, really buy myself all the room in the world, throw it to KJ, get a touchdown. You would love to do that, but it would be kind of greedy. And I think that's a really good way to put it. That, man, you would love to make the greedy play there. It would be a pretty greedy play there, but some quarterbacks do take that greedy play. Cousins never will, and you wouldn't complain about converting that if the dude caught it. Bad drop. But it's an interesting play, I guess, to think about, because there's an element of judgment call to it. And it's the same thing with all of these. It's subjective. There was one that was, I believe the broadcast highlighted this. Justin Jefferson was open on kind of the same thing, ends up checking down to Adam Thielen. It was third down. And Adam Thielen had to beat two players to get into the end zone. Never was ever going to make it there. I don't even think he got yards. He got like 2 yards maybe. And he said, you know, he thought the corner was sinking. And if you look at the way the corner plays it, he like backs off two steps and then zones off at the goal line. And he thought the corner was going to sink all the way in, so he didn't throw it. That corner's heels never touched the goal line. He never even went past like the one. And Justin Jefferson was open in the back of the end zone. So even if you threw that, even if he was sinking, I don't think he makes it there. But like, I don't think he makes it there. Like, that's a judgment call. And it's really easy for me to sit there, bird's eye view, loop it 10,000 times, back up frame by frame, looking, yeah, I don't think he would get there versus Cousins, who's making that judgment live. Now, that's the job, and that's why he makes $31 million this year, and I don't, because degree of difficulty. But still, it's worth pointing out, like, hey, you know, I can use, I'm a lay person that can use a lot more tools, and I can say, oh, yeah, that probably would have been there if he had thrown it. But he didn't, and he even came out later and said, yeah, I regret not seeing that one. He just misanticipated Justin Jefferson's route on the one he threw it behind him. He was open in the back of the end zone, but he threw it behind him, and it was incomplete. And Jefferson really wanted to have that one back, too. He thought he could have caught that. Would have been hard, but he thought he could have caught that. And then Cousins said, didn't think he would, like, break inside as hard as he would, and that's just chalk that up to like a chemistry thing, and that's just one of those hard things for a quarterback and wide receiver that you only really get with guys that play together for years and years and years and years. You don't really get that by like year three. So there was that one. But there's just like all these iterations of that exact thing. Of not the Justin Jefferson just misanticipated, that's just more of a feel thing, but that idea of like anticipation, and sometimes it's just you read low and you see what is an acceptable outcome and you take it. But like, what an acceptable outcome is can also be a subjective matter. What is an acceptable outcome on a first and 10 pass play? You could say a successful play, which a lot of places will define as like 4 yard gain or 5 yard gain. But some play calls will say, hey, this play is designed to get more than that. If you get 4 yards here, that's actually a failure if we're going to use this play, because we only get to call it twice a game. And we need this to be an explosive. So checking down on it is actually seen in the structure of this play as something that only happens in a case of failure. So all of this is like very subjective, and it's all very judgment call, which kind of leads me to, you know, where do any of us get off talking about that sort of judgment call with the benefit of 2 days of hindsight on film from a bird's eye view, which with a way easier angle and no 300-pound men bearing down on us, right? And I heard that a lot about Kirk Cousins. A lot of people, well, you know, you don't play, you don't know, you don't, you know, I'd like to see you try it, all that kind of stuff. And I guess because I am not in a situation where I'm like able to do as much research as I usually can, I thought this would be a good time to kind of have that version of the conversation. And then I can talk a little bit more about the Bears and stuff on tomorrow's show as well. By the way, there still will be a crossover Thursday on Locked On Bears. He's going to talk to somebody else in the Viking sphere. Go listen to Locked On Bears for like that usual preview that you would get on Thursday with Lauren Cox. And I strongly recommend you listen to all of the upcoming opponents' Locked On show on like Friday and then the Monday after too is always very fun, especially if the Vikings win. Then it's very fun, a lot more fun. But I strongly recommend like going and kind of exploring, scout the enemy a little bit, you know what I mean? But before I get into the philosophical stuff, let me talk to you about something that can help you out with some of your grambles. It is Elias Game Plan. It's an app. Just search out Elias Game Plan, and whether it's fantasy, bets, or you're just like a stat nerd or whatever, Elias Game Plan has everything that you need. It is official U.S. Pro Sports League stats. It's all like vetted and validated. You can make like head-to-head comparisons. You can see key injuries and all that stuff. It is a great tool to help you get all of your strategies down for whatever kind of pool you're in, whether it's Survivor or Fantasy or Prize Picks or a good old Gramble. So take this NFL season to the next level and download the Elias Game Plan app today. Choose from 3 game plans when you do subscribe, weekly, monthly, or annual. You can get 25% off of your first month when you choose the monthly subscription. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNFL25. That's LOCKEDONNFL25. Find Elias Game Plan Sports Betting in the App Store or Play Store today and use my promo code LOCKEDONNFL25. Let me wax poetic a little bit here. So I was thinking, I have a Patreon post to this same idea, just a little blog. I was like sitting on a plane, just kind of thinking. And I was thinking about like, you know, just about everything I do is in hindsight, right? Every take that I have is pretty much with the benefit of hindsight. And how do you balance that? Because I don't like hindsight. I hate, you know, when you say have something like a Lewis Seen situation, right? Which, by the way, Lewis Seen, successful surgery. He's still in London doing rehab. I believe the goal is to get him back by 2023, but that is not a guarantee. That is the status right now. Really bad injury, right? Like full-on compound fracture, which means the bone is either tenting or going through the skin. Real bad stuff. So long rehab. Wish him the best, right? But we're going to have to kind of put him on ice. And I invariably, I know I'm going to hear it. If he's not ready to go by 2023, and let's say he's on the pup to start the season, which is a very distinct possibility. Somebody's going to be like, Kwesi doesn't know how to draft. Bust. Which is like this terrible hindsight thing, right? Like how in the world was he supposed to know that there was going to be a compound fracture? And if you're actually thinking that, you're pretty clearly not thinking things through, right? And I hate hindsight for that reason. But at the same time, I rely on it for things like that Kirk Cousins conversation. My live understanding of that Johnny Munt drop with KJ Osborne deep was what a horrible misread. And then you go and you look at it and you say, oh, there's a low to high read. It was Sale. It was 3rd and 1. He was supposed to do that. And the cornerback wasn't as far up as I thought on live watch. Game happens fast. I certainly don't have a pro's eye. And that's why I kind of say, you know, game day tweets don't count. And I think just about every Monday show, I kind of say I reserve the right to go back on any of these things that I'm saying because I want to go look at it slowly, right? I want to inform my opinion with the benefit of hindsight because the hindsight sure is a benefit, right? Hindsight's 2020. And I think you just kind of have to be responsible about that, right? You have to acknowledge, yeah, hindsight is 2020. So if I'm expecting somebody to know how things turned out when it's a probabilistic thing, like a draft pick, then that's probably unfair. But to use it myself to say, you know, I don't have to be right on game day, right? It's not my job to be right on game day. Probably it's more my job to be like feeling the emotions on game day, right? And feeling it with all of you. I think that's what the game day recap is for. And then you get to the Wednesday show and the Tuesday and the film watching and the Patreon and all that stuff. That's where I can really feel a lot more pressure to be like, okay, this needs to be correct now because this isn't just an immediate reaction. And I feel really comfortable with that. I feel really comfortable with like in the there being a difference between what I immediately think and then what I later go back and find out because I can't see everything all at once, all on the field. There's probably fewer than 32 people in the world who can do that. And most of them are NFL quarterbacks. And like that, I was just kind of thinking about like the idea of hindsight and the easy for you to say, right? There was a lot of the talk about those Kirk Cousins missed opportunities. You know, you say, oh, easy for you to say without a guy bearing down on you and stuff, and like the timing angle of it, which is another thing I didn't really talk about, like the idea of like, well, he would have had to, like the one where he would have had to pump fake, and it would have been kind of a greedy play, and it would have taken longer to pump fake. Well, on that one, he had time. There was nobody bearing down on him. It was a naked rollout, and nobody nailed the quarterback. So he did have time to do it, but again, it would have been a greedy play, and he hadn't progressed the read past there, so he didn't even know. But there's also this idea of like, well, can I expect a quarterback to see what the safety did, even though we haven't gotten to that part in the progression yet? Like, can you expect a quarterback to just have that peripheral vision, that peripheral sense? I think yes. If you are holding them to, you know, the highest of, this is a guy that is our franchise guy that we think we can win a Super Bowl with and blah, blah, blah. Everything the Vikings have told you about Kirk Cousins when asked, whether it's the Wilfs or Kwesi or O'Connell, they've all gotten that question and they've all said, yeah, of course we think we can win the Super Bowl with this guy. And I think if that's the standard, then yeah, I think you can say, well, he should probably know on that KJ Osborne, Johnny Munt drop play, the safety bit really hard on play action and moved way too far to the inside. That's why KJ Osborne was open so hard. And I think just having that general background awareness of where the safety is at all times is like a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers thing, one of those things that sets those greats apart. And saying with the benefit of hindsight, well, he didn't see that, and that's the difference between him and the true greats, it's not even that much of like a hater thing to say. It's, do you think Kirk Cousins is one of the best, you know, three quarterbacks in the league? Is he going to the Hall of Fame? No, he's not going to the Hall of Fame, right? Nobody thinks that. And so what if somebody said, well, why? What's the difference? What's stopping Kirk Cousins from being on the level of Tom Brady? Well, there's one example, right? And that's just like information. But pointing something out isn't the same thing as kind of like decrying it as this horrible, horrible thing, right? Say, hey, that right there was a miss. Maybe a minor one, maybe not one that you even really expect, but there was a guy open in the end zone. He didn't get targeted, and Kirk Cousins said he regretted it. Hey, let's talk about why that happened, what could be done next time, and all that stuff. And that's why I kind of, you'll hear me say it on Patreon a lot, like, what's the note? What if you were the coach, what would you tell him? And, you know, if I were the coach, I would say, hey, try to just be aware of where the safety is. Let's talk about if we want to play this greedy or if we're okay with not playing it greedy. You know, we would probably have been okay with converting that one to Johnny Munt if he had caught it. So maybe we don't have to be so greedy, but it would be like a conversation I would have with him, like a back and forth, not just an instruction. And I think that's how you have to think about it in hindsight. You have to have a certain degree of like humility for, I don't need to be right away. And I don't need to stick by whatever I thought immediately. And if I can take my hindsight informed opinion and just like place it right on top of and cover my immediate opinion and be okay with the fact that, hey, my immediate opinion might not have been as accurate as my new one, and have the humility to understand whatever I thought immediately doesn't need to be defended or stuck by, then I think you can do something really, really cool. And I guess that's why I wanted to have that conversation. Then I think you can be in a much more responsible place. And I think you could just ultimately find the right answer to whatever question you have way more often. So let's take this Saints game, put it in a little box, put it away. I might talk about it more on the bye week just because I feel like I haven't gotten to really go into it as much as I wanted to because of being abroad and stuff. Definitely we'll do that on Patreon. Might do it on here, might do something else over the bye week. We'll play it by ear. But for now, put it in a little box. We won't talk about it again except when we do bold predictions for the Bears game. So let's talk about the Bears game. I just want to do like a broad strokes idea of like where we're at here with that game. But first, let me talk to you about finding employees. If you are in a hiring season right now, and it is fall is kind of hiring season, football season is hiring season to some degree, you got to be on LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs not only has a gigantic network, over like 800 million people are on LinkedIn Jobs, but it also has all kinds of great tools like screening questions and other such things to help you like narrow down exactly what your company needs, what your job needs, what your needs are, what your culture is, people who will fit. So you're not wasting your time on a whole bunch of people that are non-starters. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, let's talk about the Bears. Yikes. My initial Bears thought is, oh boy, those guys are struggling. And I'm actually looking forward myself to listening to Lauren Cox. I usually use these Thursday episodes when it's a crossover Thursday to kind of get myself acclimated. And I usually end up just like asking the other host questions about the team just to get my own like sense of information. But I've talked to Lauren a little bit about the Bears this year as the season has gone on and in another like NFC North events and stuff. It's one of those like our expectations were low, but oh my God, kind of deals. Do you know what I'm talking about? Stronger language. Where you didn't think you'd get much from the Bears, but actually seeing it in action is particularly pathetic. And it's weird to say that about a 2-2 team, right? But everybody kind of knows that it's like not a great 2-2 team. You know, they beat the Texans who haven't beat anybody. That 49ers game was like weird and rainy and the 49ers. Well, I don't know. They just like beat the crap out of the Rams. So I guess you can give them some credit for that. But it was like also, you know, that weather is like kind of an equalizer. And so it's difficult to see that as like definitive proof that this team is better than you thought. And then just getting like waxed by the Packers, getting beat up by the Giants, who are a very clearly fraudulent 3-1. I think I said that in Twitter Tuesday, the most fraudulent 3-1 in the league. And if you look at like what's happening in their games, the protections are not only losing, like you're losing a lot of blocks, but they're broken protections. And that's been a problem with the Bears for the last couple years. I think it's always been a Sam Mustipher thing. And I don't watch the Bears nearly closely enough for me to be the authority on this. I'm just sort of thinking out loud here. But so if Lauren says something different, listen to him. But I think that's always been him because the protections have always been bad, the worst when he's been in. He went in, I think he was the center for that debacle. I think it was week 3 last year against the Browns. You might remember that as like the Justin Fields debut disaster game where all the protections were always broken and he took like 9 sacks. And now it's like happening again. And how Justin Fields deals with sacks, we saw it a ton and pressure. We saw it a ton in the Monday night game the Vikings played in Soldier Field last year. When Justin Fields is under pressure, he's really, really, really excited to take his eyes down and run, or at least to break the pocket. Sometimes he will keep his eyes up and go downfield, but it's not a get the ball out quickly kind of guy. You know, compare this to Kirk Cousins, who I criticized him a lot for not doing this against the Lions, but typically outside of that, and I think that was just an off day, typically Kirk Cousins is very quick to get to his hot, which is when you don't have enough blockers for how many blitzers there are, that probably means that there is something short and most plays will have it, unless it's like third and long, will have a running back check down, either a hook over the middle or running out to the flat or something like that. Something that's hot. If a guy is coming and he's unblocked, it's now your job to get rid of the ball before he gets there. You kind of become a de facto extra blocker by you being responsible for the free rusher as the quarterback, right? And Cousins usually pretty good at getting to that hot read. I even wrote like an entire puff piece in 2020 about it. It was in week 3, 2021 about it. Same week. but that is not Justin Fields' way. He won't get to the hot. He's not trying to get rid of the ball. He's trying to save and rescue every play, playing a little bit of hero ball. And I think that's just a facet of having to be that guy in college, because a lot of college quarterbacks are that guy, and then really having to be that guy on the Bears with no help or nothing around you. You've kind of realized, like, if I don't do it, nobody will. And you get used to playing this Superman brand of ball. And Mike Zimmer And the Vikings were really, really aware of that and really played in a way that meant, like, hey, if he breaks the pocket, if he starts running around, we got to make sure that we're on these wide receivers. If they come back to the ball, how to play it. Like, if they start scrambling, how to play it. And then also relentless pursuit. This is a big DJ Wonnum game, and I don't think that's a coincidence. Wonnum in open space chasing a guy down. That's like where he thrives. That's like his strength. And he's honestly, I gotta give some credit. I've been a big hater on DJ Wonnum, and I gotta give some credit. He's had a really nice year in more traditional defensive end roles. Rotational guy still. Like, I'm not sitting here saying let's start him, but a step forward, I would say. And that's very nice. But that doesn't change what he was always good at, which is when he's not blocked, or once he's done being blocked, or once the pocket has broken and he doesn't have to defeat a block anymore and he's just chasing a guy down. He's just really, really fast for an edge rusher, and that really comes in handy in these kinds of situations when you got a guy trying to run around and play hero ball. So beating the Bears is going to come down to that. You can almost sort of rely on they're going to blow some protections. All of the four-man twists and stunts and games that have kind of not worked very well feel like they're going to work against the Bears, because the Bears are one of the worst teams in the league at handling that. But you have to make sure that if you're going to force Justin Fields to start improvising, you got to make sure that you also punish that improvisation. Otherwise, they can pull off the upset. The Vikings are 7-point favorites at home as I write this right now, or as I say this right now, which is not huge. Like, that's not, you're not a 2-score favorite. You're a touchdown favorite at home. That's a comfortable advantage, but far from a guarantee. And I honestly think that's fair. As much as the Bears feel like a catastrophe right now, and I don't even think Bears fans will listen to this and say I'm wrong. Like, Bears fans are furious with the Bears, and rightly so. But that doesn't make, there's no such thing as a guarantee in the NFL, you know what I mean? And the Bears have enough stuff going for them where I think if the Vikings approach this in the wrong way, they could be in more of a game than they really expected. Will that happen? I don't know. Got to think about it. We'll talk about it next time. But that's sort of the preview here, is that the Bears are a mess, but that doesn't mean you get a free win. You still have to think about how you're going to punish that mess. What mistakes do they tend to make? What mistakes can you rely on them making? Flip it around. You can rely on the Vikings miscommunicating on defense and having problems with a zone pass off. They just do that right now. You can rely on that. How do you punish that? What's your plan to punish that? Flip it around to the Bears. You can rely on a blown protection on offensive line or on a failed one-on-one. Are you going to try to get free rushers? Are you going to try to get one-on-ones with Danielle Hunter against the 5th-round rookie as a tackle? Or maybe he's playing guard now? You're going to do, like, what is your plan? And I do think that there's multiple different possible answers to that, and what the correct one is, which one the Vikings go with, I think will actually be a really interesting answer, a really interesting thing to look at, what their defensive game plan is to attack that offensive line and Justin Fields. When a lot of different things can work, which one do you want to go to? It sort of answers something about your identity. So, tomorrow I'm going to try to do bold predictions. Might not be able to do the Grambling, you betcha thing, but we'll do definitely bold predictions. Can't let those go away. So get your bold predictions in. I'll put out the call sometime on Thursday, maybe early Thursday morning, like in the wee hours of the morning, because I have no idea what time it is back in America. So I'll see you all for that. And as always, Skull.